Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Monday, September 30th. Today, we're joined by Eric and Kate to discuss a fascinating new study on intermittent fasting. Let's dive right in, shall we? Today, we're discussing a new study on intermittent fasting and its effects on metabolic syndrome. Let's start with the basics. What is metabolic syndrome and why is it important?
Well, Ted, metabolic syndrome is like a perfect storm brewing in your body. It's a cluster of conditions that team up to increase your risk of heart disease and diabetes. We're talking about high blood sugar, excess body fat around the waist, and wonky cholesterol levels. Imagine it as a bunch of troublemakers hanging out in your body, plotting to cause havoc on your health.
While that's true, it's crucial to note that metabolic syndrome isn't just some random health hiccup. It's often a direct result of our modern lifestyle and diet.
Hold on a second, Kate. I have to disagree there. Personal responsibility plays a huge role here. The study clearly shows that individuals can make changes to improve their health. It's not just about blaming society for our
problems.
But you
can't ignore the fact that societal factors like food deserts and crazy work schedules make it incredibly difficult for many people to make those changes. It's not as simple
Come
as
on,
just
Kate.
Deciding to.
That's a cop-out. The study demonstrates that with a little effort and discipline, people can take control of their health. We can't just throw our hands up and blame everything
on society. Interesting points from both of you. Now, can you explain what intermittent fasting is and how it was implemented in this study?
Sure thing, Ted. Intermittent fasting is like giving your body a timeout from eating. In this study, participants were asked to squeeze all their meals and snacks into an 8 to 10 hour window each day. It's not about what you eat, but when you eat. Think of it as setting a curfew for your fork.
That's correct. But it's important to note that this type of eating pattern can be a real headache for many people, especially those with busy schedules or irregular work hours. Imagine trying to cram all your meals into a tight window when you're working night shifts or juggling multiple jobs. It's not as simple as it sounds.
Actually, Kate, the study used a nifty smartphone app called My Circadian Clock to help participants track their eating times. Technology can make these changes more manageable. It's like having a personal eating coach in your pocket.
Sure, but not everyone has access to smartphones or the time to constantly log their meals. This approach might only work for a privileged few. We're talking about a
Hold
digital
up, Kate.
Divide. That
the
could...
results speak for themselves. Participants lost more weight and improved their blood sugar control without specifically trying to cut calories. That's huge. We're talking about effortless
but
health.
But we can't ignore the
here.
Potential risks of restrictive eating patterns, such as disordered eating behaviors or nutrient deficiencies. It's not all sunshine and rainbows, Eric. There are real concerns we
Let's
need to
Let's look at
address.
This from a historical perspective. Can you think of any similar dietary trends or studies from the past that relate to intermittent fasting?
Absolutely, Ted. The concept of fasting for health benefits is as old as the hills. It dates back to ancient times when people fasted for religious or health reasons. But let's fast forward to the 1940s. That's when Dr. Ansel Keys conducted the Minnesota Starvation Experiment. Now, this study was no picnic. It provided some eye-opening insights into how calorie restriction affects the human body. We're talking about groundbreaking stuff here.
Hold your horses, Eric. That experiment was highly unethical and caused severe psychological distress to participants. It's not even in the same ballpark as modern intermittent fasting studies.
Wait a minute,
we're
Kate.
Talking about...
While the methods were questionable, you can't deny that the study provided valuable data on metabolism and weight loss that informs current research. It's like the controversial great-grandfather of modern
But we
fasting
can't ignore
studies.
The potential harm caused by promoting restrictive eating patterns. The 1960s saw a rise in dangerous fad diets that often led to health problems. Remember the grapefruit diet? Or the cabbage soup diet? These weren't just ineffective, they were downright dangerous.
Interesting comparison. How do you think the results of this new study compare to historical findings on fasting and metabolism?
Great question, Ted. This study is like the high-tech grandchild of those historical experiments. It builds on that historical knowledge but uses modern technology and methods to provide more accurate results. The findings on improved blood sugar control are particularly significant. We're talking about potential game changers in the fight against diabetes here.
However, we need to be cautious about drawing broad conclusions. Many historical diet trends have been debunked or shown to be harmful in the long term. Remember when eggs were the enemy?
Hold on, Kate. The key difference here is that intermittent fasting isn't about extreme restriction. It's about timing, which aligns with our body's natural circadian rhythms. We're working with our bodies,
but those rhythms can vary greatly between individuals. What works for one person might not work for another. We're not all cut from the same cloth, Eric. Some people are night owls, others are early birds. How does intermittent fasting account for that?
Actually, Kate, the study accounted for individual differences by allowing a flexible 8 to 10 hour eating window. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Think of it as a customizable eating schedule that you can tailor to your lifestyle and body clock.
Still, we need to consider the long-term effects and sustainability of this eating pattern before promoting it widely. What happens when people try to maintain this for years? Or during major life changes? These are questions we need answers to.
Looking to the future, how do you think these findings might impact public health recommendations and individual dietary choices?
I'm glad you asked, Ted. I believe we'll see a seismic shift towards time-restricted eating in official dietary guidelines. Imagine a world where doctors prescribe eating windows along with medications. This could lead to significant improvements in metabolic health across the population. We're talking about a potential revolution in how we approach nutrition and health.
That's overly optimistic, Eric. We need to consider the potential negative impacts, such as increased stress around eating and social isolation due to limited eating windows. What about family dinners or social events?
Come on,
Kate. We can't just ignore.
The benefits far outweigh the risks. Improved blood sugar control could lead to reduced rates of diabetes and heart disease, saving millions in healthcare costs. We're talking about a healthier population and a reduced burden on our healthcare
system. But implementing this on a large scale could exacerbate existing health disparities. Not everyone has the luxury of controlling their eating schedule. Think about shift workers, single parents, or people working multiple jobs. How are they supposed to stick to a rigid eating window?
Interesting point. How do you think the food industry might respond to a potential increase in intermittent fasting?
That's a great question, Ted. We'll likely see a boom in products and services catering to time-restricted eating. I'm talking about meal planning apps that sync with your fasting schedule, specially formulated foods for breaking fasts, maybe even smart kitchen appliances that lock up during fasting hours. The possibilities are endless.
That's exactly the problem. This will become another way for companies to profit from people's health concerns without addressing underlying issues. We're talking about a whole
Hold on a second, Kate. But if it leads to better health outcomes, isn't that a positive thing? Companies can play a role in making healthy choices more accessible. It's like when fitness trackers became popular, they made people more aware of their activity
levels. The focus
levels.
Should be on addressing root causes of metabolic syndrome, like poverty and lack of access to healthy foods, not on promoting another diet trend. We're just putting a Band-Aid on
Intermittent fasting isn't just a trend, Kate. This study shows real measurable health benefits that could improve millions of lives. We're talking about a simple, cost-effective way to combat some of our biggest health
challenges. We need more long-term studies before making such bold claims. Let's not forget the numerous diet fads that have come and gone, often doing more harm than good. Remember the low-fat craze? Or the Atkins diet? We need to be cautious before jumping on another bandwagon.
Well, it seems we've opened up quite a can of worms here. Clearly, intermittent fasting is a topic that sparks passionate debate. While the study shows promising results, it's evident that more research is needed to fully understand the long-term impacts and potential challenges of implementing this approach on a larger scale. Thank you, Eric and Kate, for sharing your insights and keeping us on our toes. Until next time, this is Ted from Listen2, signing off.